Morning. Good to be here with you this morning. Now, I thank the elders here for allowing me this opportunity to stand in Greg's place while he's conducting a gospel meeting. Pray that all is going well with the endeavors there, as we always do. And we just hope that much fruit will be born from the work that Greg is doing. We welcome our visitors here, our honored guests. Pray that the things that will be spoken here from the pulpit this morning will be those things that will help you and encourage you and to just encourage us all and edify us all, but mainly for the glory of God. That's why we're here, to glorify our God and worship. There seems to be a new catchphrase these days, and it's a phrase called fake news. Seems to have caught on in the political arena, especially when the media reports some negative information about some political candidate. Then the party of that candidate cries out, fake news, fake news. But fake news is nothing new. It's just a new twist on an old problem. Not very long ago, the standard term was tabloid news. For decades, there have been and still are magazines dedicated to this type of reporting. Magazines such as that have been around, you know, for decades reporting these outrageous untruths to produce shock and awe. Publications with the names such as Star, Globe, National Enquirer, you've heard of those, Scoop, Confidential, even older ones, Hush Hush, Weekly World News. And they, with actual outlandish cover stories like, Stevie Wonder can see again. Hillary Clinton adopts an alien baby. Woman with four legs, let's just stop right there. Woman with four legs opens a dance studio. Titanic survivors found the board. When did the Titanic go down? 1912. And we're talking about in Arctic waters. Survivors found on board. And then this one, alien Bible found. They worship Oprah. Now, of course, you know, no one will give any serious consideration to these fables. However, many people do. Many people do. Why? Because fake news is always reported as true news. And that is why fake news is even more serious when the falsehood is not so obvious. You know, fake news, when it calls into question a person's character or falsely accuses someone of a crime, or a person's reputation is damaged, thus resulting in emotional, physical, and even financial damage to those affected. But what about spiritually? Spiritually, is there fake news in religion? Yes, yes it is. And that fake news is the most dangerous and even fatal because it poses as the good news. And tragically, fake news is preached as good news, and it has caused many souls to perish and have led them to their damnation. Fake news, like Jesus preached another gospel to America. Of course, there's no alien Bible that was found. But perhaps in the alien Bible, maybe we'll find another gospel. But we know that that's fake news. The gospel of Jesus Christ, for one thing, was the only one delivered. In Galatians 1, chapter 6 through 9, Paul will remind the Galatians, because they were being carried away from the gospel to something else. And he will say to them, I marvel that you're so soon removed from him which called you into the grace of Christ, unto another gospel. He said, which is not another. Why? Because there is no other gospel. But there be some that trouble you and will pervert the gospel of Christ. So another gospel is a perverted gospel. That's what Paul is saying. It's a perverted gospel. But then he gives a warning. He says, though we or an angel from heaven. Now just think about that. Though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. That means anathema from God. He says an angel from heaven. And as I said before, so I say again, so he's going to repeat it. If any man preach any other gospel unto you than that which you have received, let him be accursed. A stern warning for another gospel. It's just only one gospel. That's what we have to conclude. And it is the one and only faith. The one and only faith. In Ephesians 4 and verse 4, it says there is one body and there is one spirit, even as you are called in the hope of one calling. And in verse 5 it says, one Lord, one faith. One faith. And look at all those ones there. We don't dispute the other ones, but why when it comes to one faith? One faith. There's only one faith, and that's the gospel of Jesus Christ. It was the only one delivered, but then it was only once delivered. And Jude would talk to those to whom he wrote. He would say, beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should contend earnestly for the faith, which was twice delivered. Three times. Four times. Once. That faith was delivered once unto the saints. And that faith is the gospel of Jesus Christ. So Jesus Christ preached another gospel? That's fake news. That's fake news. But what about this one? Extra, extra, read all about it. You can join any church of your choice. Now, we know there's no four-legged women. There's none. And I submit to you, you cannot join the church of your choice because there's only but one. There is just one church. And that's what we read in our Bibles. There was one built. Matthew 16, 18. When Jesus would call his disciples to him, and he would ask them the question, of whom say the people that I am? Who do men say that I am? And Peter would say to him, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And so he would answer Peter and say, and I say unto thee, and thou art Peter, and upon this rock, the fact that he is the Son of God, that's the rock upon which the church is built, that truth, that Jesus is the Son of God, I will build my church. Singular. Just one. Jesus only built one church. He only built one church. It was only one built, and it was only one bought. Acts 20, verse 28, when Paul would call for the elders of Ephesus, when he was in Miletus, and he would tell those elders that he was about to depart, so he would give them instructions, but he left them with a warning. And he said in verse 28, take heed, therefore, unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost have made you overseers unto all the flock. Just one. Which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers to feed the definite article, church, singular, of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. Just one bought. Only one. Just one. And it's just one body. It's one built, one bought, and there's one body. Ephesians 4, verse 4 would say, there is one body. Now, this is Paul writing to endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. He calls out a bunch of ones. And he says in verse 4, there's one body and one Spirit, even as you are called, and one hope of your calling. He says there's one body, and there's one Spirit. Now, we wouldn't say that there was two Holy Ghosts running around here, two Holy Spirits running around. He says there's one, but he also says there's one body. 1 Corinthians 12, verses 12 through 13. It says, for as the body is one and have many members, and all the members of that one body being member are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit you're all baptized into one body, whether you be Jews, Gentiles, whether you be bond or free, you've all been made to drink into one Spirit. How many times does he have to say one to mean one? One times one times one times one times one still equals what?
One.
It's just one. Just one body. And if there is one body, then there is only one church. For the body and the church are one and the same. Ephesians 1, verse 22 through 23. Paul, writing to the Ephesians there, talks about how God had exalted Christ. And then in verse 22 and 23, it said, and have put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church. And in verse 23, it says, which is his body. The church and the body are the same. There's one body. That means it's one church. It's one church. But then, finally, it's just one bride. 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 2. When Paul will give the qualifications for a man who desired to be a bishop, one of those qualifications required the bishop to be the husband of one wife. A bishop then must be blameless, the husband of one wife. So it is with Jesus Christ. Because Jesus Christ is the shepherd and bishop of our souls. And if he's going to require the bishop of his church to have one wife, how many wives do you think Christ is going to have? Just one. 1 Peter 2, 25. For ye were as sheep going astray, but are now returning to the shepherd and bishop of your souls. That's Jesus Christ. Christ has one bride, and that bride is the church. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. Paul is giving the relationship between the husband and the wife. And in verse 23, he says, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as what? Christ is the head of the body, or head of the church. And he is the, here we go again, church and body being put together. And he is the savior of the body. So he's the head of the church. He is the savior of the body. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. Does that sound familiar? Remember Adam and Eve? When Adam was said, now this is bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh, when God created Eve, and they were married in the garden. That's exactly what he's saying about the church and Christ. We are his flesh and we are his bones. We are the bride of Christ. As Christ is the head of the church, he is the savior of the body, for we are members of the body, of his flesh and of his bone. For this cause, a man should leave his father and mother and should be joined to his wife. And they two, not three, not four, not five. Christ and the church, the man and his wife, the one and the one, the two, shall be one flesh. That's taken right out of Genesis, out of the first marriage in the garden. But then look at verse 32. It says, this is a great mystery, but I speak concerning who? Christ and the church. It's just one bride. You can't join the church of your choice. That's fake news. That's fake news. But what about the next thing? Extra, read all about it. Here's some good news for you. Once saved, always saved, and you can never fall. Never fall. Yeah. And you know, it would be great if you can go down into the Titanic that's been sitting in the Arctic Ocean for decades and happen to find somebody alive with no food, freezing water, but yet they're alive. Yeah, that might be a great thing, but it's fake news. It's just fake. It's impossible. And you know what? Once saved, always saved. It's fake news. The very way that you think can cause you to fall. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12. The way one thinks of himself can can cause him to fall. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 12 say, wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he what? Fall. Can't fall? There it is right there. Take heed lest he fall. Even elders of the church, one of the qualifications, 1 Timothy 3 and verse 6, they cannot be novices. In other words, they can't be new to the faith. They can't be immature in the faith. Why? Because that they're in danger of being puffed up, and that can lead to a fall. 1 Timothy 3 and verse 6 says, not a novice, lest being lifted up with pride, he do what? Fall, there's that word again, into the condemnation of the devil. Who was puffed up against God? The devil. And that's the condemnation of the devil. The very way that you speak, the very words that come out of your mouth can cause you to fall. In James 5 and verse 12, James will write to those on that occasion who were biting and devouring one another. James is trying to restore some peace among these brethren. And he says in verse 12, but above all things, my brethren, swear not, neither by heaven, neither by the earth, neither by any other oath, but let your nay be nay, and your yea be yea, lest you do what? Lest you fall. Lest you fall into condemnation. Don't make promises that you can't keep. That's what he's saying. Because then it becomes a lie. Matthew 12, verse 36 and 37, why? Why is it that your words, you have to be careful about what you speak? Jesus will say on that occasion, but I say unto you that every idle word that a man shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. By thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. The very words you speak can cause you to fall. But not only that, but what a man lacks. What you lack can cause you to fall. We have been told in 2 Peter, verses 9 through 10, 2 Peter 1, to add to some things to our faith, okay? And he gives a list of those things that we need to add to our faith. But look at verse 9. He says, but he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and have begotten that he was purged from his old sins. And then in verse 10, he says, wherefore, rather, brethren, give the diligence to make thy calling and election sure. For if ye do these things, what does it say? You should never fall. Why is all this here when it's impossible for me to fall? And then last but not least, the very things you seek after can cause you to fall. If you're seeking after false religion, look out for the fall. Matthew 15 says, in verse 13 and 14, Jesus warned the Jews on this occasion. He said, every plant which my heavenly Father have not planted shall be rooted up. Let them alone. They be the blind leading the blind. And if the blind lead the blind, what? Both shall do what? Fall into the ditch. Again, the word fall is used. If you seek after error, 2 Peter 3 and verse 17, seeking after error can cause you to fall. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, so he's reminding them of things that they already know, but yet he's cautioning them not to seek after error. It can happen. It can happen, brethren. We might be here now, but guess what? We can end up seeking after error. He said, beware lest you also, being led away with error of the wicked, do what? Fall from your own steadfastness. And then, last but not least, seeking justification through any other means but the gospel. Turn to Galatians chapter 5. Here is Paul writing to the Galatian brethren who were being turned back to the law. The law could not save. The law was our schoolmaster to lead us to Christ, he would write to them. And so since they were turning back to the law and seeking to be justified by the law, Look at what he says here, because he's going to add something after fall. And then he's going to change the very context of fall. He says, Christ has become none effect unto you, whosoever of you are justified by the law. He's going to change the tense of falling now. A fall. He says, are fallen. That means you've already fallen. But not only that, he asks, fallen from what? Fallen from grace. Impossible for you to fall? I think not. It's not what the Bible says. That's fake news. That's fake news. Last and not least, and one of the most dangerous things that's being preached as good news. You don't need to be baptized to be saved. It would be great if Stevie Wonder could see. A lot of us know who Stevie Wonder is. A lot of us have appreciated his music throughout the decades. But a lot of us know that Stevie Wonder is blind. He's blind. And you know, maybe it would not be such a great thing. You know, someone who has been blind for a lifetime and all of a sudden can see, well, that could be detrimental. That could be detrimental because now everything that they have related everything to is now has to change. Now they see color. Now they see exactly what you look like. No telling what they're thinking right now. You know? But that could be detrimental. So maybe for us we think it's a good thing, but maybe for him it might not be a good thing. Unless the Lord himself healed him. Now see, if the Lord heals you, it's going to be done right. It's going to be done right. But brethren, Stevie Wonder, being able to see, that's fake news. He can't see. You know, and baptism not being necessary for salvation, that's fake news. Let me tell you what baptism does for me. First of all, it places me into the death of Jesus Christ. Romans 6, verse 3 through 4. Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in newness of life. That doesn't come until you're baptized into the death of Christ, into his death. And that's what baptism does. It places me into his death, but it also places me far away from my sins. Acts 2 and verse 38, and Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for what? The remission of sin. That means the removal of sins. Baptism places me far away from my sins. Ananias would come to Paul, who was Saul at the time. Saul had been praying because, you know, Saul met the Lord on the way. The Lord appeared unto him and asked Saul, why? Saul, Saul, why dost thou persecute us? Or why persecutest thou me? Because Saul was persecuting the church. We talked about that this morning. Now Saul, who was a man who said he had done all things in good conscience toward God, now knows that he has offended the God of heaven. Guess what Paul is doing when they find him? Paul has been fasting for 3 days. That means he didn't eat. Paul had been praying for 3 days. Wait a minute. I thought today if you pray, you could pray yourself into salvation. Lord, come into my heart. But look, Paul was praying for 3 days. You need to know this. If you don't already, he was praying for 3 days. And when Ananias came to him, see, Paul already knew the gospel he'd been persecuting. Now he knows it's the truth. So Ananias would come to him and say, Paul, what are you waiting for? Arise, get up, Paul, get up off your knees, get up out of prayer, and be baptized. Did he stop right there? No, he said, and wash away thy sins. Baptism places me far away from my sin. If anybody needed to have their sins or be placed far away from their sins, it was Paul, who was persecuting the church, who was persecuting the Lord, killing Christians, holding the coats of those who were stoning Christians. Paul said, I was the chief of sinners. Not anymore. Now he's been placed far away from his sins because he was baptized into Christ. It places me in the church, the body. Acts 2 and verse 47. Craig read that this morning as our call to worship. praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Who was he adding? Verse 41. And they that gladly received his word were baptized. Verse 41. That's who the Lord was adding. 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 13 says, for by one spirit we are all baptized into one body. Baptism places me in the church, in the body. But then it places me in Christ. Paul would tell Timothy that salvation is in Christ. But look at what Galatians chapter 3 and verse 27 says. How do I get in Christ? For as many as of you as have been baptized into Christ, baptized where? Baptized where? Into Christ. Have put on Christ. In other words, you have clothed yourself with Christ. You can't do this until you're baptized. It seems like baptism is more than necessary. But not only does it place me in Christ, did you know that it places Christ in me? It places Christ in me. Galatians 2 and verse 20. Paul would say there to those Galatians, brother, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ doeth what? Liveth in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I am crucified with Christ. That's how Christ came to live in me. When my sins were taken away, turn to Romans. Turn to Romans if you will. When did Christ come to live in me? When I was crucified. Well, when was I crucified? When I was baptized. We already read that so many of you were baptized into Christ, were baptized into his death. But look at verse 6. Knowing this, that our old man is what? Crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed. Christ is not going to come and abide in me while my sins are still with me. I have to have that body of sin destroyed. And when is it destroyed? When I was baptized. When I was baptized into his death, crucified with Christ, now Christ liveth in me and I in Christ. Amen. Baptism. Therefore, I can conclude, baptism saves me. That's what Peter told those on that occasion that he was writing to. He was comparing baptism to the flood of Noah. While the flood itself, while that water destroyed the world of sin, because God, he was fed up with man. It had repented him that he had even made man. So he said, let me destroy man. But Noah found grace. Noah built an ark. Noah built that ark. Noah get into the ark. Noah got into that ark. But guess what they said? Guess what Peter said saved Noah? The water. Because it was the water that came and took away the sinful world. That appeased God. Had that water not come away and taken away the world, God probably would have just snuffed everything out. But see, he took that sin away, and he found one man that could find grace, that he can apply his grace to, and that was Noah. Noah, take your family, go into the ark. Eight souls, it says. Eight souls were saved by water, okay? And then when you get to verse 21, it says, the like figure whereunto even baptism doeth also now what? Save. Not to put in the way the filth of the flesh. I mean, it's not a bad. But an answer of a good conscience toward God. Why? Because my sins are taken away. I have no more consciousness of sin. I don't have to be guilty before God anymore. I have a clean conscience now. Because it places me far away from my sin. By the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Remember, not the putting away the filth of the flesh, but an answer of good conscience toward God, that's in parentheses. In other words, you can move that out, and you can still have a complete sentence. You know what this really says? The like figure whereunto baptism doth also now save us by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Why? Because I've been planted in the likeness of his death, says in Romans, I will be raised in the likeness of his resurrection. Oh, man. baptism is not necessary for salvation? Fake news. Fake news. Jesus preached another gospel to America. Fake news. You can join any church of your choice. Fake news. Once saved, always saved, you can never fall. Fake news. You don't need to be baptized to be saved. Fake news. You know, the tragedy is, it's not just fake news. This is fatal news. It's fatal news to anyone who will believe it. And that's why we preach this without any reservation. We don't preach to offend. We preach to inform. We want you to know the truth. And there's so much out there right now that is not true. And Jesus has already warned us that broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, but straight is the way and narrow is the way that leadeth to eternal life, and few there be that find it. We need to take that serious. And if you're following any of this that is fake news, you know, we're pleading with you. Don't just dismiss what we say. Go search it out for yourself. Go search it out for yourself. You have the Bible. You have the scriptures. I gave you scripture. We give you scripture for the purpose of you going back and searching for yourself and confirming the things that we say. You know, it's not me. Don't listen to me. Listen to your Bible. You know, it doesn't matter what I say, because I can stray away from this Bible at any time. I don't want to stray away from this Bible, because you know, it's just like the disciples said to Jesus, "Jesus, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life." Look, words of eternal life are here, right here. Where else am I going to go? Where else am I going to go? If you've been a victim of fake news, we would like you to do one thing. Just turn away from it. No. If you've been saved by any other way than what the Bible says to be saved, then listen to me. The Bible says you need to hear the gospel. Not pray for Jesus to come into your heart. It says you need to hear the gospel. Romans 10, verse 17. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And once you heard that gospel, do you have to believe it? John 8 and verse 24 says, Jesus would say, "Except you believe that I am he, you shall die in your sins." So you have to believe that gospel, that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and then you have to be willing to repent. Turn away from all this fake news and turn to the truth. That's what we want you to do. That's what God wants you to do. Because Jesus said, "Except you repent, you shall all likewise perish." That's Luke 13 and verse 3. Write it down. Read it. Study it for yourself. Don't listen to me. "Except you repent, you shall all likewise perish." And then you must confess your belief in Jesus Christ as the Son of God. Matthew 10 and verse 32. Write it down. Jesus will say, "If you confess me before men, I will confess you before my Father which is in heaven. But if you deny me before men, I will deny you before my Father which is in heaven." To confess Christ means you got to really believe that he is Christ, the Son of God, but then you got to believe the word. You got to believe the truth. I can't say I believe that Christ is the Son of God and then go off and do what I want to do or do something that he hadn't said to do, because Jesus said, "Why call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say?" And then after being confessing the name of Christ, we just talked about it. You have to be baptized for the remission of your sins. And once you're baptized for the remission of your sins, you're raised up. You're raised up to walk in newness of life. You're raised up. Jesus will add you to his church. We don't vote you in. We don't put you out here and look at, "I don't think that person looks good enough to be in this church. I don't like that person, so I don't want that person." No. The Lord asks you to his church. Not my church. Not anybody's church in here. It's his church. And the Lord will add you to his church. And then you become part of his body. And then worshiping with us. And if you leave the state, we have a visitor here from, I forgot where he said it was from. I think he said Phoenix. Might have said Phoenix, Arizona. I don't know. Arizona. Yep, Phoenix, Arizona. Look, guess what? He came from the Church of Christ there. Look, Churches of Christ, that refers to congregations of the same church.
When he came here, what did he first look for? He looked at our website, and he says, yep, they don't have this, they don't do this, they don't do this. They're following the Bible. Guess what? That's the Church of Christ. I'm going to go worship there. Got another man here that came, Mike. Mike led our prayer in our Bible class this morning. He's not from Virginia. But guess what? Found the Church of Christ here. He has the Church of Christ. When we leave here, we look for the Lord's church. And you know what? Just because the sign is on the building says Church of Christ, that don't mean a thing. It's what they're doing on the inside. So we hope that you will take this to heart, take it seriously. If you need to be baptized into Christ, come do so now while we stand and sing.